Welcome to the Every Day is Saturday podcast, the number one motivation show on the planet.
No more Mondays for you. It's time to make every day Saturday. Boom!
This is the podcast where we help you to accept who you are, not where you are.
On the roller coaster of life, you know we only sit in the front seat, champion. So make sure you are fastened in. Hi. Let's go.
Tired of feeling run down all the time during the week? We can help you make every day feel like it's a Saturday.
Let's go pack your bags. It's time to leave Averageville.
Introducing the man who thinks abnormal stands for above normal.
When you're on fire, people will travel from miles around to watch you burn, baby. We are fired up.
The host of the Every Day is Saturday show, Sam Crowley.
Welcome back to the Everyday Saturday podcast. It's Sunday. It's the spiritual podcast. So this is the one day a week we're on our best behavior. We don't swear. We don't drink any alcohol in the studio or anything like that. Although Shane Harden brought a 40-ouncer in today, malt liquor. That's why. Hey, what is that you have there?
I'm having my coffee this morning.
Coffee. Yes. Oh, that's what they call it in the churchy area.
Does this look like a flask to you?
Yeah. It says malt liquor on the outside of it, but that's okay. Hey, everybody. Got Shane Hart in the house. Great to have you back in the show.
It's great to be here, man. Great week of Easter last week.
Did you miss me?
I did, man. It's good to see you.
Oh, I appreciate that. Yes, Easter. I forgot about that. I was more concerned. I was wondering if you actually missed me. Hey, by the way, speaking of me and the Everyday Saturday podcast, be sure to get into iTunes. Give us a 5-star rating. It is the it's the only way you're going to live a better life. It's the only way you're going to feel better about yourself. It will help you in so many areas. Would you agree, Shane? True or true?
It will help you.
Yes.
Please go on iTunes today.
5-star rating for the Everyday Saturday podcast. So, hey, Shane and I want to chat about having patience, waiting for the right timing. Waiting for his timing. I've been counseling Shane for some time now about trying to be more patient and really just allowing things to come to him. You're so darn impatient, Shane.
You know, patience is an awesome word, but it's one harder to learn and definitely even harder to teach.
When you hear the word patience, when I hear patience, I think boring. Like I'm the ready, fire, aim guy. Like I want to be, patience sometimes to me doesn't mean I'm in control. Like I don't want to wait for things to come to me. As an entrepreneur, we're taught to, you got to go get it, man. Like you got to create momentum. So how does patience work into that? Like, you know, somebody, for example, in our space, you're an entrepreneur, I'm an entrepreneur. You planted a church, I planted a business on the internet, you know,
right.
And a speaking business. But talk to me about how patience has worked in your life just with planning a church, you know?
Well, I think in business and in ministry, it's very similar. There are times where we know it's the right time to do something, and there's the wrong time. And it could be everything from the timing to launch a product. Is it best to launch it 2 days after Christmas or three weeks before? I think it's the same idea. We have to learn patience. We also have to learn timetables of what has been done before and try to work within those. But I think I'm speaking a lot lately about the patience within our heart and mind for things that are unresolved or unsolved for us. And we have to give time for God to resolve those things. And sometimes it's not in our responsibility to do those things, but to stand back and wait on the Lord.
Oh, I was just going to say that all sounds boring, and then you had to add it with wait on the Lord.
I love that you were going to reference everything I said as boring. Thank you, Sam Crowley, because I'm being patient with you right now.
Did you receive that message? Okay, I get that, but dude, how does that resonate with tomorrow isn't guaranteed, though? Like, don't, as entrepreneurs, we got to get out and get after it. Or if you're making a decision in business or life or that girl or guy that you want to go ask on a date. But, man, I mean, come on, man. You can't exercise patience if tomorrow isn't guaranteed. You got to just get after it.
I think there's two different things here, though. Patience and being certain or definitely with a lot of excitement about moving forward on a project. Those are two different things. I mean, one, I think we exercise patience with relationships, we exercise patience with things to come, but I think everything comes back to steps of faith and leaps of faith, and we have to try things and then be patient when they are failing, but also know how to get back on the track and keep going with greater options for us. And you know, I do think there's I love the part of the heart of the entrepreneur that I know of you too, is I see it, I want to say it, I want to do it. And I mean, I think even in your own life, I'm going to make this assumption, there's been times where you said, you've thought, man, if I would have just waited, this could have turned out a little bit better than what it did.
When I quit my job the first time.
You should have waited?
I should have waited.
Okay.
Well, I should have done more due diligence on that Quiznos that cost me a bankruptcy and $300,000. But had I waited and not quit when I did, I wouldn't have backed myself into such a corner.
There you go.
Had I waited and launched Every Day is Saturday as my first entrepreneurial venture, things would have been much, much different, better, less stress. I mean, keep in mind, we had Paigey, our youngest daughter, you know, a week after I filed bankruptcy. So all of that, you know, we had three girls under the age of five. You know, a lot of people out there listen to this show and they want to know when to pull the trigger on their job, for example.
Right.
And I tell them, don't do what I did, because what I did, and people are like, well, that doesn't make sense. You're telling everybody to quit your job. No, I'm telling you, make sure you have at least a little, because what I didn't have peace.
Right.
Like, I didn't have that inner peace. I had turmoil and negative feelings towards my boss and towards the job, and I felt like I was just a corporate slave and they were using me. And I think when you have patience and you exercise patience, you have more of an inner peace and you come at it from more of a positive perspective. When your head is more clear and you make better decisions. And I kind of envy people who can have patience in their business and in their personal life. Another thing, I moved when I first moved away from our home here, was an impatient move. I got a little bit worried, and it wasn't even fear. It was, I got to take control. Right. I got to get control of the situation.
Just do it.
And the best way for me to have control over these rental properties that are 500 miles away is to just move, you know?
Yeah.
And again, we moved back 9 months later. Here we are in the same house. But, you know, yeah, I definitely would exit. There is it's such a tap dance, because you don't want to let the big fish get away, so to speak, metaphorically, but I don't know, man. I'm sure you see it when you counsel people as well in business and personal life and things like that. They're probably like, Shane, I don't want to wait.
I do. But you know the principle, and you know this space so much better than I do with businesses, but when often we know that it's time for a change because we're unsettled, or there's conflict with our boss, there's things that are happening in our current workplace that we just can't take. We see things, and the first thing that comes to mind is leave. You know, just move it. Yeah. Same thing in relationships. There's something.
A little bit of pride and ego, too, when you're thinking, they're not going to control me. I'm just going to.
Or I don't deserve this.
Yeah.
So we go ahead and we move on. And I think that's the part that is the patience, because, had you started Every Day Saturday while you were in that realm and still receiving a paycheck.
Yeah. Yeah. Then, and health insurance.
Then you look at it as you're being paid to help start a new ministry or business.
Yeah, yeah.
For me, it was a new ministry. For you, it was a new business.
Well, you always bring it back to ministry, man.
I'm just saying, I think for me, there is some gray time that was really hard in my other church ministry position, because my heart then started shifting to the new calling on my life to plant a church, but I was still having the current responsibilities of my regular job, the good, the bad, the ugly of whatever was in that job. I still had those responsibilities because I have a family. And
where did you go? Like, was there scripture that you sought out when you were in this, because you had like one foot in this bucket in this job, you're getting feeling led or, you know, inspired to go do your own thing?
Yeah.
Where'd you turn?
Well, there's a passage in Galatians that talk about gifts of the Spirit, and there was joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and self-control. So all of these things were gifts from the Spirit to me, and I had to practice all of those things. If I wanted joy, I had to also practice patience. If I wanted peace, I had to practice kindness. And so there's the verse that we all cling to in times like this as believers, that those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount wings of eagles. They shall walk and not faint. They shall run and not be weary. And that's really what I was thinking. I mean, I'm going to be patient because soon God's going to help me soar like an eagle through my next calling or my next workload. And that's exactly what happened. But some days I still get weary, I still get tired, but I know that right now I'm doing the things that I was supposed to do. And by being patient, waiting on God till the timing was right, He made it clear. I wish I could say that every single thing I waited on accurately. There were some things as I go back, I got ahead of what I could because I'm also leading other people and I wanted to make sure that they were all coming along with me. Mm-hmm. If I'm just out there leading and no one's following, then I'm just running ahead by myself as a solo. And if I'm running with people and helping them guide them, then I'm leading them. And so there's timing and patience. There's also that, how much can other people, because of the type of job I have, how much can they take of my leaps of faith?
Yeah.
You know, and I, right now we're searching for a building. We're praying, God, show us the next place, our permanent residence.
Now that is an exercise in patience.
Since we meet in a school. And yeah. I see properties probably every other day and I think, that's it.
Yeah.
We're going to do it and we're just going to take it. Oh yeah. So what? It's $1 million.
Right.
Like, where's that going to come from? Right. Well, somebody's going to have to help me pay for that. And so I have to be patient. And as a team, our leaders, they're so good. There's counsel and there's wise counsel in numbers. And so I really take a lot of feedback. But eventually, we still have to make some decisions as leaders. And I never try to make a decision without the counsel of other people. And that helps my patience.
Yeah. You know, we talked about business, children.
Talk about patience.
Yeah, I say this, you know, everybody that listens to the show knows I got 3 girls, 13, 9, and 8 right now. You have 3 children.
2 boys and a girl, 14, 12, and 11 as of yesterday.
Eden just turned 11. Happy birthday to Eden Harden. 14, 13, 11. Okay, so those are very similar ages to mine. And they test your patience, man.
Sure.
It's like, I've got a 13-year-old daughter who wants to be 19. And great girl, straight-A student. I always got to preface my comments by, I'm not throwing her under the bus. But wants everything yesterday. You know? And also, like, I'm having a conversation. I'm like, man, get off your phone, man. I mean, you're on this phone nonstop. But
right.
I realized she got the phone as a reward for getting straight A's and as a high honor student, you know? She's like, Dad, you're on the phone all the time. I'm like, yeah. I run a business, so I'm marketing. I mean, it's a lifestyle that I want to create for people, and I want to sell the lifestyle that every day is Saturday and things like that. So I'm on my phone. I drive revenue as a result of being on my phone, or you wouldn't have those $7,000 braces and a Wii and an Xbox and all that great stuff. So let's just end that conversation right now.
For real.
And then you go want to punch a hole in the wall,
yeah.
You know, because your 13-year-old's confronting you about conversations like that. Kids, man. People out there have children. Talk about that. I mean, the patience that you have to have for your children.
Yeah, definitely. Some days I pray that we've taught them enough of how to survive on their own, because they definitely want for everything at this age. They see other kids with anything from a type of phone to a type of pair of shoes. And they want those things. And to teach them right now to wait on those things, to work to get those things, so important. And then sometimes we lavish a gift on them on their birthday and you think, I really want to give them this, and I'm so glad I can give them this, but I hope they realize the sacrifice that it was made so that we could do that and purchase that gift for them. And so that someday when they're on their own, they understand it. It's not all going to come instantly, and they're going to have to practice patience. And I will tell you, this age is the worst. You know, this right. junior high age, everything is. What do you mean? What do you mean I have to wait? Or what do you mean we can't go to Kings Island today? What's that mean? Well, we'll go when there's a better day, and it's not going to be packed out, and we're not going to wait 2 hours to ride the roller coaster you want to. And so all of those kind of things, waiting for them, is ridiculous. There is no idea. They have no concept of patience. So teach.
How do you? I probably just stopped you when you were going to say that. So how do you teach them? How do you explain to them that, hey, this is delayed gratification. If you get this at all, you know, be grateful for it.
Well, some things when they do work and they get something and it's like an award or they get noticed for, like, their report cards are a really big deal in our house, because when they come back and my kids do really, really well academically, and I'm so grateful that they do. But when they come back, I sit and talk with them about, do you remember how hard that night was that we sat up for hours trying to finish your homework, and we were all about to kill each other.
That
was part of the patience of getting to this point. And I also say, so you can make lots of great grades and make lots of good money for college on scholarship. I mean, that those are some of the things we teach them. And someday I hope that when they get their scholarships for college, I can say the same thing. Look, this was a huge journey up to now. And just trying to remind them of things that have already happened instead of trying to create new methods of teaching patience. Yeah. I mean, some days, like I'm sure like in the Crowley House, you just have to put your foot down and say, this is not going to happen right now, so drop it.
Yeah. You know,
and if it's going somewhere, doing something, buying something, because we have to be sometimes the voice of reason that says this is a limit. Mm-hmm. And they don't understand our bills. They don't understand our pocketbook. They think it's an endless supply of money somewhere coming.
Sure.
And so you and I,
big bucks.
We wish that was possible. If I had a podcast every day, maybe.
Yeah. If you were an international motivational speaker, it might be. But
I think that's the part, is just everything you do, remind them of the patience that it took to get here. And, you know, right now Kate's picking up extra days. She's a physician assistant. Oh. She's picking up extra days so we can finish the remodel of our property that we've purchased. And it's been a year waiting. So imagine.
That is patience. Talk about, you bought an old chapel here in Love. This is a good story, everybody listening. Pay attention to this. This is pretty funny. I've driven by this chapel. I've lived in Loveland for 10 years. I've driven by it. Had to have been a million times. Never even knew. Like, I knew it was there, but never noticed it.
Yeah.
You and Kate buy it.
Yeah.
And it is. I'm trying to frame it in the right way.
It's 1859.
It needs a ton of work. When was the last time it was occupied?
It's been abandoned for now 3 years.
It's been abandoned.
Yeah.
Okay. And so you guys purchased this with the vision of actually living in it, making it
a house,
your home. Yeah. And it had pews, and in the top level, it had these church pews, and bottom, it was kind of a reception area with a kitchen and all the stuff.
All the nursery rooms, everything was downstairs.
You guys have been gutting that, remodeling it for
a while. It took 5 months to gut it with 5 40-yard dumpsters. So we say a 40-yard dumpster a month for 5 months.
Wow.
And, we did friends and family and my boys and my in-laws. We carried out bags of crap from that place.
I sent your messages, a voicemail. I'm sorry about that, dude. My back was hurting and stuff. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you conveniently came back into town just as we were closing that.
But I drove by a couple times. When you guys were working, I waved and stuff.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, I'm supportive.
But, you know, during that process, I think we go back now. It's still incredibly exciting. I mean,
But you've been displaced from your home.
Yeah, we've been in a rental.
Moved from King School District, about 20 miles away. You know, as the crow flies, probably 10 miles. But you moved from a different school district, move your family into a rental home.
Correct.
And you've been living. So you haven't been living in your home. You've been living in a rental home.
Without any of our stuff.
Nothing.
It's all in a warehouse. You know, patience away.
How long have you been in that home?
We're a year now.
A year with none of your personal belongings.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So these are my clothes.
Sure.
I got you. But you know, Kate, I look at Kate some days and I think, would she have been willing to take this leap of faith had we seen the whole picture from the very beginning? And I don't know about that. You know, because had we sat down and said, this is going to take a year and a couple months, maybe, because we're still maybe 5 6 weeks from moving in, and would you still do it? And I think the patience part is, it's helped us along the journey to keep us going, that we're still seeing progress. We're still seeing the magnitude of the project is huge. The payoff is going to be great. You know, right now the equity that we have in that property is ridiculous, but it's been a lot of sweat equity and it's in a historic district. So it's got these character and some things development going on in Loveland that we didn't even know about then. That's really going to help us with someday with the sale of that property. But we hope to live there a long time. And our goal is that we're going to have a home to do ministry out of, literally have you in our home for downtown to have activities and places to meet and prayer breakfasts and all that kind of stuff right in our living room / we call it the chouse, the chapel house, the chouse.
Yeah. That's amazing because when I first talked to you, you were moving from one part of the Cincinnati area suburb, Kings Mill, to Loveland into that rental home. And I remember talking to you this time last year, spring of 2013.
That's right.
I said, how long do you think you're going to be in that rental home? You said, well, it should be like around Thanksgiving at the latest. We're going to be in there and we'll have everything remodeled. I'm like, oh, wow, that's tough. I mean, you're going to be, and you go, yeah, I mean, we're going to be selling our home here. So we're going to have everything in storage. So 5 months, that's a long time.
Isn't that funny?
14 months or so, you know?
Yeah.
That's patience, man. That's what we're talking about today because you talk about a leap of faith. Okay, let me just put this in context. You plant a church, so there's no steady income. You got to grow a church. You got to be faithful, and you got to just say, okay, I'm going to go to work and get the movement. In a town that you weren't living in at the time, okay, so you move your family to a new town. You plant a church, and then you live in a rental home while you're remodeling an 1850 chapel that you're gutting out with 540-yard dumpsters. So no real guaranteed income, no guaranteed housing, no guaranteed of when your housing is going to be ready, and an extreme amount of patience exhibited all because of what? The vision that you see a year from now, 2 years, 5 years from now? I mean, what drives you to say when you lay down in a somebody else's home at night every night for a year and a half saying, Kate, you know, this is what we're thinking. What's the vision you have in your mind?
I mean, the vision is to really impact this community. So to think that God gave us a home downtown was huge. For us to be having a church in a middle school auditorium, that these were all key points to the bigger vision of having this community that cares about each other. And, you know, when you have values like, I want to be pastoring a church where people respond to each other out of love and compassion, and that they're respecting each other. It's not going to be perfect because we're like, we're a bunch of flawed people. Yeah. But if I have this value, I think that's worth it. Someday, like a family has a new baby this morning at 7:30, and I'm so excited for them. And I see the bigger excitement is I'm not at the hospital, but people are at the hospital, people are reaching out to them on social network and try to get connected to them, and they're part of the community. And I see that God's kind of doing that. That excites me. I can totally think because this is a lonely world we live in, and without community, it's pretty devastating. And so it just motivates us. And I look at it makes it worth Kate working extra days that we can be able to do the project that we're doing, because it's way out of the scope of a church planter to be doing this kind of project downtown.
Yeah.
And I think I'm thankful for her. And, you know, I think in partnership as a husband and wife, if your spouse is not completely on board to do something that's risk taking, it's going to be a struggle. And Kate's been right there with me. I love the question they always ask is, how did you convince your wife to do this?
Yeah.
And I look at him, I'm like, man, you're selling her short, because I wouldn't be doing this if she wasn't all in. And, we have to work together, and she's been amazing at practicing patience this year. There's been times where we're about to crack and we're like, oh my gosh, if it rains or snows one more time and we can't lay the concrete to do the project that we're trying to do.
Yeah.
I mean, those kind of things, we're impatient with the weather. We're impatient with our builder sometimes. And, but we know that the product that we're getting is going to be a good one. And that's the drive. That's the motivation. We're going to have this great place. I hope my kids get to enjoy it while they're still with us. and then someday, you know, I think it'll be a great payoff for all of us.
Speaking of payoffs, I mean, I don't know if you know this. I mean, you can bribe a lot of these local unions to get stuff done. Have you ever thought about bribing an elected official or anything like that to get things done faster?
I have not.
Okay.
What just was that?
Anyway, back to our everyday.
Have you, Sam,
back to
thought
our
of bribing a local official?
As far as you know, absolutely not. Anyway, back to our spiritual podcast, Shane. Let's get God back in the room, okay?
Please.
Yes. So, hey, we're going to actually, we're kind of towards the end of the podcast, but I think this was a really good topic.
It was.
We were talking earlier about kids. This is how we got on the topic because we don't really know. This is the beauty of a show, which I do 7 days a week with no script and no outline, but we kind of just chat beforehand and say, hey, what do you want to talk about? And I was telling Shane the story about my kids and how I'm impatient sometimes because I hate to go to bed mad at my kids, you know?
Yeah.
And I hate that. And it's happened, man. I'm not going to lie.
Sure.
I go to bed and I'm like, argh. Because nobody did their homework. Nobody took a bath. They were fighting. Two girls, 8 and 9, best of friends. 1 minute and next minute, they're you
sure.
Gotta, it's like WWE.
It's in know? Our house, too.
I'm like, oh, my God. Just go to bed. Everybody just go to bed. Doors slamming. And I'm like, oh, boy, that felt good. But now I hate it because I didn't say love you, good night, and all that stuff. You got to have patience, man. You know?
Right.
Thankfully, my kids have not been that. I'm sure they're, you know, there's going to be some scars, I think. They're gonna be unearthed when they're on Dr. Phil. In their 30s as a result of what happened. But the more patience I have at the end of the day, the better the next day begins. And it's I think that's the vision I have, is that I can wake up feeling better. I hate going to bed mad and angry. That's why I don't do any – I did a hangout the last Thursday night, a Google hangout at 8 o'clock at night. I never do those. And I noticed it Friday morning, yesterday morning, because I just – was lethargic, you know. I just don't like taking time away from family. It upsets the rhythm of what's going on, and I did that Thursday night, and I noticed it, you know. So to me, having patience means you got to be able to see 24 to 48 hours, and most people, you know, 2 months, 3 months, depending on how big the decision is. You're quitting a job 12 months down the road, and understand, you know, God's timing is the perfect timing, right?
Right. Great things come to those who wait. You know, that saying that we've been taught our whole lives. I really believe that. And I think that those who wait upon the Lord, you'll have a renewal of your strength. And it is very, very much so, like you just said, there's a better, people think patience is painstaking, but actually it's very freeing. I'm being patient on whenever my house is done, and I have to be. And sometimes we have no other option, so why not be patient?
Well, I think that's the key. What's your other option?
Misery.
Live in your car, you know. With
misery.
You're right, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
You stand around and gripe about it. So
yeah. The fact that we have a house, I mean, 1 billion people slept on a dirt floor last night
right.
in the
it's
world.
It's ridiculous.
It is. It is. I think that's another good point as far as what really drives patience. It's perspective, too, right?
You're right. And to think of, I don't let our kids complain about not being our house not being done, because I'm looking at them and I'm like, if you said that in front of somebody who is struggling to even pay for the house that they're living in or struggling, I mean, it's just, it's understanding and bringing great perspective that we have a house, and right now it's not our house. My kids call it our vacation rental. And and right. last night for the birthday little party for my daughter, she's welcoming our friends, and she's like, this is my rental bedroom.
Nice.
This is our rental bathroom. I'm listening to her like walk them around the house. I'm thinking, they're like, what a great house. And she goes, this is our rental house.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
this is a rental donut.
This is not our furniture. This is our rental furniture. And yet the people that gave our house to rent and that are out in California, man, they gave us an amazing deal. And so even the possibility to do this is a great perspective for the kids. I'm like, we could have been in a 2-bedroom apartment. And it would have really sucked to live for a year in an apartment.
Yeah.
Instead, we have this house. So
be thankful.
Enjoy it. And it's in a neighborhood where you made friends from school. And so it's really, you know, perspective, the old saying of counting our blessings. I mean, that helps my patience. I go through and I see all the things that God has done in my life. And it makes me really appreciate the things to come.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, that servant's headquarters you have in your house, the lake and the golf course behind it as well, is amazing.
The
dude.
Butler.
Yeah.
And, yeah. What, they all came with the house.
Yeah.
The gardener that mows the grass.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Park all your cars there, though. I mean, you got a big enough circle.
I couldn't fit the boat, though. That was, I was really wanting something with a dock.
That's what the chapel house is for. You know, a place to park the boat. You know, it's funny, you tell the kids, you got to be grateful, be happy. At our house, this is a saying we say when inevitably somebody complains about dinner.
Yeah.
What they're, go to Haiti. We're going to Haiti to eat bugs. We're going to Haiti to eat bugs, everybody. That's what me and Ann say all the time. You know, we're going to Haiti, guys. We're going to eat bugs like they're doing right now. So if you don't eat those peas or carrots or whatever it is, we're all getting on a plane tomorrow and we're going.
I said that to our kids when we were in Nicaragua. There were kids that were very hungry, and I always say, if you don't eat that, I mean, just imagine the kids what they would do if they had that. Yeah. Piece of chicken in Nicaragua, and right. They always look at me and go, can we send it to him? God, you've missed the point
once again.
The perspective,
yes, once again went over your head.
This is great, Sam. I bet it's, you know, it's probably hard for you to have patience every week just waiting for me to come and be interviewed with you.
It's tough for me to have patience to have you, you know, finish up your thoughts a lot of times. You know? But this has been a really good exercise for me as we do this podcast.
Well, good. Practice patience with me, Sam.
Yes, I am. This is very cathartic and very good for me. So everybody out there, go and exercise patience this week.
Right
on. On behalf of Shane Harden, check him out, branchschurch.us. As always, hit me up on Twitter at Sam Crowley. Let me know what you think of the show. If you like it, awesome. If you hate it, tell everybody. And leave us a 5-star rating on iTunes. Shane, have a great day, all right?
You too, man.
Take care, everybody. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Every Day is Saturday podcast. Still fired up and want more of Sam Crowley? Be sure to visit everydayissaturday.com. And don't forget to follow Sam on Twitter at Sam Crowley. Let Sam know you're listening. Use hashtag Every Day is Saturday.